You're listening to the Ask Drone You podcast. You ask, we answer your drone questions. Whether you're here to turn your passion into profit or you simply fly for fun, we're a community of learners and teachers who aspire to achieve greatness. We are
Drone You.
Hey everyone, and welcome to another awesome episode of Ask Drone You. My name is Paul.
And I'm Rob, and you're listening to episode 372 and perhaps watching episode 372. Welcome. We appreciate you being with us today.
We do. And I know a lot of you may be listening in the car, and a lot of you are probably not watching on YouTube, but don't forget you can subscribe to our YouTube channel and check out the video portion of the podcast if you want to see certain things.
And that's a great place, by the way, to go ask follow-up questions. A lot of folks do that there.
There are so many. And actually, that's a good point, because today we are talking about follow-up questions from the Part 107. Again,
yes.
So much information out there that's wrong. And, you know, John Rupert has really compiled all the questions from the Drone U community amongst other places, and it's a really good opportunity for us to answer some of those questions that you have been asking about, you know, the new 107 drone license. What things will I need COAs for? You know, what if I filed a 333 in January? Where are we with that? So there's just a lot of questions, and we have the answers for you. So the way that we're going to do this is we're just going to go question by question, and hopefully, you will be able to find the question that you want in this podcast. It may also not hurt to just listen to the whole thing and
absolutely, and
learn a lot here. So,
no doubt, I'm sure we won't answer everybody's every question, but if not, then reach out, send it in.
So we will be asking Drone Law Pro Rob over here.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah,
you're in trouble.
He's not a lawyer. So anyway,
doesn't want to be one.
But man. He does look shiny. Anyway.
versus red.
True. Hey, a tomato is the way to go.
Really?
No.
Okay.
Anyway.
Tomato, by the way.
Potato.
Anyways.
Here's my first question for you,
Are we going to hop
right
into this?
Yes.
Wait,
all right.
No. So I'm reading the questions.
Oh.
You're answering the questions.
Oh, okay.
Because you're the one that plays the lawyer on TV.
Oh, should I? I'll pretend like I'm John Rupert, but I may like have a weird, deep Southern accent. So I'm just gonna throw that out there.
All right, that works. He is from Florida, right?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if he's from Florida. He lives in Florida.
He lives in Florida.
Anyways, that's South. All right, so let's just jump into these. So if I pass this Part 107 remote pilot exam, can I charge for the flight? Huh?
Here's my.
Can I charge for my work?
Here's my John thing. What?
No, it depends.
Yeah. There's 500 caveats here. No,
that's actually the CPA answer to most questions too. It depends.
I think the question is, if I pass the exam right away, can I just go ahead and go out and make money? And the answer is,
as opposed to like waiting for a certificate to come in. Yeah. I mean, I don't understand the question.
I mean, if
exactly.
You pass the test, you are stating that you have the knowledge to fly. But essentially the answer is yes, provided that you fly within the requirements of 107. You know, a lot of people, in fact, we got an email from Chad over at the AMA who was very quick to state, hey, you know, it's not clear yet on whether FPV racers are going to need the 107 drone license. Like, you know, we want to be careful about how we say that.
Right.
And the AMA wants to be careful about a lot of things, but I don't really care what they think.
There he goes, folks.
No, I mean,
that
no.
is not true.
I love the AMA. They've done a lot, but they've fallen short so many times. And I know that they're doing a lot in lobbying and whatnot, but you guys can do more. So that being said, we didn't have an answer. We still don't have a clear answer is what it comes down to.
As to the racers and how they're impacted by this?
Yes. And even John said, you know, this is something that's being cleared up right now by the FAA, whether they're going to have to do it, whether they're not going to have to do it. But, you know, people do ask the question, what, you know, if I'm just flying for hobby or model aircraft, do I have to do the 107? And the answer is no. Section 107.1 says Part 107 does not apply to any aircraft subject to the provisions of Part 101 of this chapter. And Part 101 is a section for model aircraft. So
again, the idea is that the 107 is for people who want to fly commercially.
Well, that's not the right question. So, you know, his next question was, so Part 107 isn't for model aircraft people, but just for commercial people, right? Just what you said.
Mm-hmm.
No. Everyone on the internet incorrectly classified everything as either commercial or non-commercial when the correct way to do it was model or non-model. Here's.
Well, I didn't say charging. I said commercial versus non-commercial. Anyways, I would consider some of the stuff that's mentioned in here, like nonprofit environmental organizations, fire departments, as essentially commercial.
Yeah, well, that's the weird thing, too. He says nonprofit organizations or fire departments are two good situations where they aren't charging for the flight and cannot fall into model aircraft operations.
Right.
So they'd have to get authorized some other way to fly. That really seems kind of ridiculous, but I'm sure you're probably still going to go through the COA process, which is not bad. But, you know, why not just make it easy for them and have them do the same thing that we do? What does Part 107 mean for the drone industry? It's going to blow up, $82 billion in 10 years. We know that. How do I take this Part 107 exam? I think we've talked about that already, too. You've got to go take the exam, file the application, get your TSA background check, and you're good to go.
Contact your local, what are they called?
CAT Center. Yep.
So people are already doing that, and they're getting appointments made as of now already, right?
Yes.
So that is something that people can do.
Yes, they can, starting on August 29th, because 107 didn't actually get put in the Federal Register until 8 days after they said it did.
So it sounds like the experiences that we're hearing on that is that most people are having pretty good success calling into the CAT Center, getting somebody who's reasonably knowledgeable and saying, yeah, we can go ahead and get you set up for a test.
Yeah.
Every now and then they run into somebody that doesn't quite know what's going on, but it's kind of like anybody you call, whether it be a credit card company or anybody, you just got to get to the right person.
Oh, yeah. Couldn't agree more. So a lot of people are saying, what in the world do I study? We've got the first 40 questions in the DroneU community. If you are a member of DroneU, you can check those out. We just gave everyone it for free. We are coming up with a comprehensive guide, thanks to a couple different people, which, you know, this is a very interesting thing because there is so much that goes into this. No one has the exam yet, so we don't really know. But again, I come back to studying for the exam and passing the exam is going to be the easy part. You know, the hard part is going to be, are you going to have your business set up properly?
Yeah, and just to clarify on that, that doesn't mean it will be easy, but relatively speaking, it's the easy part.
Yeah.
Meaning you still got to be a good pilot. You still got to have the ability to run a business and interact with people, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
Rightio.
Here's some questions I don't think really matter. Number 12, what happens if you fail the 107 initial knowledge test? Well, you study again and you can take the test again. So essentially the FAA says that retaking the UAS knowledge test after a failure, 14 CFR Part 107, Section 107.71, specifies that an applicant who fails the knowledge test may not retake the knowledge test for 14 calendar days from the date of the previous failure. An applicant retesting after failure is required to submit the applicable AKTR indicating failure to the test center prior to retesting. No instructor endorsement or other form or written authorization is required to retest. So when you would take the test normally for a pilot's license, you would have to get an endorsement from an instructor to take it. Anyway, so what about the TSA background check? If you're a new pilot, does the TSA background check or global entry count? No one really knows.
Yeah, we get that question a lot. That's probably one of the biggest questions that I've seen or the most asked questions. But a little bit of a spin on that was one guy was worried about it because he said, I have a criminal background, essentially admitting that he was a felon and kind of hopefully just moving on with his life. But he was wondering if that's going to keep him from being able to get the 107.
Do you want to know something interesting? You want to know something interesting? So, you know, I have a degree in criminology. It was my first one, most useless one, but I do remember a lot about the UCR. Do you know what the UCR is?
No.
Uniform Crime Report. So it's made by the FBI. It's a compilation of all the crime and everything. Well, this guy should be happy, and drone pilots should be worried, because only about 80%, or excuse me, only about 20% of all felonies are actually reported to the federal database.
Really?
So he has a 4 in 5 chance that his information is not even going to show up.
But if his information does show up, does that preclude him from getting a 107?
I think it depends on the type of felony.
Yeah.
So, because I think that they also talk about violent crimes versus nonviolent crimes.
Sure.
So
that makes sense. Well, I think the question about the COA and
the COAs,
firefighters and law enforcement officers, if they can get a 107 and do everything that they need to do, they may still need to get COAs, is what John seems to be saying here, depending on the operation they want to.
You know, what do drone pilots need a COA for under the new 107? What type of things would you want to be able to do that are beyond the 107, but you could do with a COA? The first one, 107.25, is operating from a moving vehicle. Operations, just so you know, from a moving boat are allowed, but operations from a moving vehicle or an aircraft, you would need to get a COA from that. And that means operating a drone from a moving aircraft for power line inspections, pipeline inspections, or maybe car commercials in a populated area. I think that would actually be a good COA for us to get, to be honest with you.
Sure.
I think he messed this up. 107.29, nighttime only operations. Here are the operations that will need this waiver: search and rescue at night, inspecting roofs using a flare camera to spot water damage. So that's commercial roofing inspections, which, by the way, you do have to be certified to do. Firefighting or law enforcement at night. The next one, if you want to fly beyond visual line of sight, you're going to need a COA.
Absolutely.
All right.
The 107 is very clear about that.
Yes. Very, very clear. Operation of multiple drones. So if you want to fly two or more drones at the same time or swarming for entertainment purposes, you're going to need a COA. Hmm. Okay, so 107.37A, yielding the right-of-way to aircraft. I feel like the only reason you would need a COA against that is if you were flying an air show, like the one that I flew 3 years ago. I think that's the
only
reason.
Which you did not have a COA for. You didn't need one at the time.
No, I was actually asked by the... Well, we did have a COA at the time.
Oh, you
did? I still have it in the office.
Oh, okay.
But... it was a very different type of COA. Very, very, very different type of COA. Operations over people. Any time you want to operate news over crowds, law enforcement monitoring large crowds, which I wouldn't recommend. I've seen a lot of law enforcement officers getting into drones quickly, and you really, really need to be trained. I'm excited that we're going to California in a couple weeks to go train, what was it, like 3 or 4 different fire departments.
Yep.
So anyway... another thing that you would need a waiver for is if you want to fly in class B, C, D, or E airspace, which is almost always near an airport. And yes, you would have to have a COA to operate in these airspaces, a certificate of waiver to operate in these airspaces. He explains that in his another page. If you want to fly higher than 400 feet, faster than 100 miles an hour, or flying in less than 3 statute miles of visibility, then you would need a COA as well.
That's interesting. So that kind of brings back to FPV racing, because they can go faster than 100 miles an hour, right?
Oh, yeah.
So I wonder...
You know, it's really interesting because people ask me all the time, do you want to see FPV racing get regulated? You know, the answer is no. I don't want to see that. I want to see the development of the sport. I want to see the growth of the sport without it being inhibited.
Sure.
You know, some people emailed me and texted me about my... all pilots are stoners joke. It was a joke. I don't really think that all pilots are stoners. but I would love to see clearing of the air on this topic, because we would be able to have more races like the Spaceport Games, where we could
Absolutely.
Just go out, you know, hey, FAA inspector, no big deal. We close the airspace. Here's what we're doing. Like, you know, it really wouldn't be a problem.
Mm-hmm.
So I just would like to see it get cleared up, whether it goes either way. Of where, you know, drone pilots who race have to get a 107 license or not. I mean, guys who race NASCAR still need a driver's license. So it's kind of like, you know, if you want your sport to be the NASCAR of drones, there's going to be layers of infrastructure and layers of protection.
Yeah, I think that's the reality. I think eventually, even though you're suggesting that you don't want that, and most people probably would agree with you, it's probably going to happen. If I had to guess.
Yeah.
It just seems it'll go that way. Again, like you said, with NASCAR, take that for an example. They're pretty much any big event where people are using motorized vehicles, they're going to have some kind of license. Although, I don't know, take a motorcycle race. They don't have to have any kind of license, I wouldn't think, necessarily to go be in a motocross race.
That's a good
question. Something along those lines.
That's a good question. But, I like how we both looked at Sam, the intern, to be like, do you know? Nope.
Help us out, Sam.
Anyway, so... Rob, let me ask you this. We applied for our 333 the end of last year, almost January. Do you think, and I'm asking you, do you think it was worth it?
Oh, gosh. I think in our case, I think it probably will be worth it because of the kind of work that you want to do and that we want to do with other pilots within DroneU. It probably will be worth it because, as I understand it, the 333 will allow us to kind of step up the type of operations that we do relative to what 107 allows. And so in the end, yeah, I think it'll probably be worth it. Does that mean I would suggest everybody go do it? Probably not, because I think most people are going to be fine with a 107.
I agree. I think most people are going to be fine with it. In fact, all the jobs that I want to take on are just are going to be 107 compliant.
Yeah.
It's funny. There's some politics involved in getting higher end jobs, and it's something that you have to be aware of and cognizant of. You know, if you're filming on set, it's very stressful. Lots of people asking lots of questions. You've got to be hyper focused and attentive. You know, it's hurry up and wait.
Well, and the other thing is, you think that flying for real estate and the competitive nature of that is intense. Imagine when you're talking about a $15,000 job.
Yeah.
And the kind of intense competition that you run into there. And when you say political, that's actually a nice way of saying there's backstabbing.
Oh, there's steezy.
It's some ugly stuff going on in that world of people trying to get those jobs.
Oh, and then also in the film and television industry, you'll have guys who are in the industry right now who will tell you that drone jobs are union. They're not union. Mm-hmm. They're a vendor position on set. So it's a third party thing. You don't have to be union or not. Don't be confused by those guys. There's a local guy here that is, you know, pressing that, like, oh, you have to be 600 in order to fly drones. No, you don't, because a 600 is a cinematographer, and the GRIPS, the 480, and the Cinematographers Union are fighting over, you know, where are drone pilots going to be. And then there's another union that opened up in New York and another union that opened up in California that are for, quote unquote, drone pilots. And I hate to mention it to you union guys, but the drone community is extremely tech savvy and very intelligent.
And very independent.
Very independent. We don't need your help setting our prices. We don't need your help setting up our 401ks. And we don't need your help setting up our Roth IRAs either. So I don't really see the need for a union when we have OSHA and Social Security and disability benefits and all of this federally funded things. But I greatly appreciate your interest in trying to scrounge us up and put us in your group.
So, there you go.
Anyway, so if you have a 333 exemption, you want to do a job tomorrow, can you do the job or should you wait for the 107? Any 333 exemption holder should to either continue operating under his terms and conditions of the exemption until its expiration or conduct operations under Part 107 as long as the operation falls under Part 107. Sometime later, you should switch over to Part 107 before the 333 expires. Remember that 107 is not in effect right now, so you can't start operating under Part 107, which is in effect. And on top of that, you don't have a Part 107 certificate or a 107 add-on to your existing certificate. Woo! All right.
Good job.
Do we still need to get COAs to operate near airports like we did with the 333s? You are required to get an airspace waiver if you're doing operations in B, C, D, or E. You will still need a COA near actual legitimate airports. Gone are the days where we had to deal with the middle of nowhere private airports and heliports that were completely all over the place, like a herd of toddlers that somehow got into craft sprinklers. That was a bad joke, John. I'm just going to throw that out there. That was a really bad joke. All right. Let's see. Wait, I read the Part 107, and it said I only need ATC permission. It didn't say anything about waivers. Where are you getting this COA idea from? The FAA further clarified this area on their own FAQ page, saying, how do I request permission from air traffic control to operate in Bravo, Charlie, Delta, Echo airspace? Is there a way to request permission electronically? Mm-hmm. You can request airspace permission through an online web portal on the FAA's UAS website. The online portal will be available August 29th. I just want to take a second in.
A round of applause is in order.
You know what, FAA? I'm starting to warm up to you. You might be getting some flowers from me. Just saying.
Some more thank you notes?
Yeah. You know what? It's time for some new thank you notes.
It's time for thank you notes.
I know they watch it, though, because I consistently get phone calls.
That was just fun. I thought it was great.
It was fun. Who cares? rubs people the wrong way. Everyone's yeah, so damn worried about getting rubbed the wrong way. Come over here. I'll rub you the wrong way.
Oh, gosh.
You guys got to have a sense of humor. If you don't, really, you're going into drone jobs or you have a drone job or you want to fly and make money. Why are you doing it? Why? Because you love it. Because it's fun.
Well,
you enjoy
probably a lot
it.
Of people are trying to get away from that serious world and that serious work life, whatever that may be, to do something that's more fun.
Yes, agreed.
So don't turn that into the serious thing that you're trying to get away from.
Don't take your 9-to-5 and bring it to your fun job because...
Although, obviously, there are elements that have to be taken very seriously. We understand that.
Bean
but have
counter.
Fun taking it seriously.
Bean counter.
So one of the other things... One of the things that I'm not seeing answered in here, and I don't know if you know the answer to this question, is if you have already registered your drone, you don't have to re-register with 107, right?
I don't believe you have to re-register your drone, no.
Okay.
So I think the better question, too, is are they still accepting N numbers or do you have to have the online part?
Right.
Because there's been some confusion there. So.
And we don't really know the answer to those questions yet. I don't see that answered anywhere in here. I would think that'd be a big question to be answered because whatever the number is, 400,000 people registered, and a lot of those people, a lot of them are probably just hobbyists, but many of them are going to be doing the 107, and so they're wondering, do they need to re-register or what's that going to look like?
Yeah, that's
know.
Really...
We don't know.
We really don't know. I hope this answered some questions for you, though. There are many questions about the 107. Again, if you're not a member of DroneU, you've got to check out the community. We are literally putting together a list of all of these people who are selling these how to get your 107 stuff, and we're giving it to everyone for free. So if you want everyone's crap that you don't have to pay for, it's right in there. And it's funny, too, because a lot of these people are just pulling information off of the FAA website and they're reselling it. I mean, it's unbelievable, the greed sometimes. But you know what? All we can do is fight back with intelligence, wit, and sarcasm.
Okay, if you say so. I like the sarcasm part.
Well, yeah, you got to have a little bit of that, right?
You do.
Anyway, guys, we really appreciate your questions. We got our first video question in yesterday, and we're going to play it for you tomorrow. If you haven't subscribed to YouTube, you're definitely going to want to do that to check that out. Also, something we're going to be starting here really soon, and Sam and I shot our first parts and pieces of it, is you guys know my book is coming out in August, and part of the book is titled Living the Drone Life. It's supposed to be coming out in August. It may not come out in August. I'm getting a dirty look from Rob right now. Hopefully it comes out in August. I should have never said a date, August. Anyway.
Dirty
it's part of living the drone life. Anyway, where I was going with this last weekend we were out doing some work, flying around, having fun, and you know, giving people an idea of what it's really like to live the drone life, because there are so many nuances, even in real estate, even in like big brokerage deals, even in like inspections. There are so many nuances that you just wouldn't know without doing it yourself. So you may learn a few things. My point is, we filmed a little vlog, so you're going to get an inside look at exactly what it's like to live the drone life. So,
amongst the buffalo.
They were entertaining.
They were entertaining.
I thought I was going to die a few times. I'm not even going to lie.
Big animals.
There are some very, very large animals, and they are delicious, too. By the way, you also meet rednecks who will teach you 5 different ways with 5 different knives on how to kill one of those things.
Seriously?
Oh, yeah. Sam can attest to this. Guy pulls out a machete. Guy pulls out, like, a chainsaw.
The
saw on the stick. He's got 3 different little hand knives with him. He's a boy, I'll teach you how to do that right now.
To the vegetarians, sorry about this.
Oh, and then, you know, another question that's going to come up on the West Coast, probably not on the East Coast, is what if you run into a problem with your drone? Like if you're flying your drone and wildlife approaches you for whatever reason, not the drone approaches you, could there be problems with mixing firearms and drones? Meaning if you're flying a drone and you spot something bad that's coming towards you, are there going to be issues with utilizing a firearm while you're flying? So I asked that question because according to federal law right now, that's a crime. But let's put the instance of there's a mountain lion and you're flying your drone and you have nothing to do with the drone. Like you put it in GPS mode, drop the remote control, and you've got to put a bullet in this animal to stop it from mauling you. You know, I'm just asking the little tough questions.
I don't think that's a tough question.
So,
I mean, you take care of business.
Yeah, that would be my question to the FAA. I know the FAA called John Rupert and said, hey, is everything clear? Do you guys understand it? Like, is that cool? So that's my question to you, FAA. What about like the, I know that's a weird nuanced question, but it's something that I want to know because there are many times that I go out onto jobs and before we even like go onto the property, they're like, did you bring a firearm with you? There are very, you know, malicious animals here. You need to be careful.
Well, and you're talking about a niche that you fly for, which is ranches, right? And probably some other related type flying. Most people aren't going to be in that position, but for those that are, yeah, I could see that being a very reasonable
and
question.
And people could be in other very different positions, you know? Yeah. There could be a lot of other things
people
going on,
people all around
too.
The world.
Oh, yeah.
Who knows? Africa.
Like, for example, what if you fly over someone's property and you notice a dead body? Is it, are you like, are you negating their privacy because you were flying so close below the treetops of their house, but you found a dead body?
Are you saying, what do you do?
Yeah.
Do you report it?
No. I mean, like, no. I'm saying, like, I feel like in this country, the way how crazy our political system has gotten is very crazy. And I hope that nothing traditional happens this year. But that being said, we live in a society where, you know, if someone flew a drone and they caught a guy who's a murderer and he went to court and he said, no, they broke my privacy and didn't collect evidence properly. And the guy got away, but he clearly killed somebody.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? Making a drone murderer.
Yeah. New movie idea.
Netflix documentary. Anyway.
Interesting. Yeah.
Guys, thank you so much for listening. We really do appreciate it. We will talk to you soon. Thanks. As always, we really do appreciate it. I know I said that twice, but it's because I mean
it's
it.
It's
because
we really do. And by the way, AskDroneU.com for your questions. Get them in. We'll get them on air.
And if you're not a member, you're going to be asking yourself, why didn't I do that? Because you get all these courses for one price instead of paying a per course price. But you also get the community, which you can't find anywhere else. It's not traditional, but that's because traditional doesn't really work. You remember elementary school, right? How did that work out for you? That's what I thought. Anyway, we're going to leave you on that. Thanks again for listening. My name is Paul.
I'm Rob.
And this is Ask Drone U.
We believe that videos, images, words, and sounds have the absolute power to inform, inspire, and entertain. We reject indecision, confusion, and vanity, for they work against the community. We are united under the virtues of safety and knowledge. We are a training community of learners and teachers who encourage and energize each other to achieve greatness. We are pilots, videographers, photographers, freelancers, business owners, enthusiasts, experts, and apprentices. We are creators. We are the Drone U.